Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen. I thought I was going to get, I didn't get away with it early service either. He is risen. Alleluia. Nice job. When was the last time you celebrated a big family reunion? Today is kind of like that. I remember many Christmas dinners, many Thanksgiving Christmas or dinners. These were our family reunions, reconnecting with immediate family, reconnecting with extended family, neighbors, friends. Everybody came to my mom and dad's house. There was always conversation, fun, laughter, and sometimes, well, the kind of the catalyst of the whole thing, the feast. Great food. That was probably one of the best things about that gathering. Well, one of the best things. But in our mobile society today, it has become difficult for families to get together when numerous miles distance us. More scheduled planning months ahead of time is required, and families need to prioritize and save for it and fly or drive. I'm delighted to see all of you here today, many of you gathering for these types of purposes to reconnect as immediate family or maybe extended family, but also this day as the family of Christ. During the past weeks, we've talked about how much God loves us by reaching out to us, and not just through our ears, through His Word, but also through our other senses, our physical senses of smell, sight, taste, touch. We've touched ashes, or ashes have touched us, reminding us that we are sinners, but we are forgiven sinners. We've touched water, salt, light, wood, and we've tasted bread, the bread of Holy Communion. Today we talk about milk and honey. When Israel longed for the food of the promised land, it was called the land flowing with milk and honey. Families in biblical times gathered for high feasts around Passover and Pentecost. Thousands of years later, we continue these kinds of things. We gather around feasts of Christmas and, like today, Easter. And we celebrated little feasts all throughout Lent and back in Advent as well, as we had potluck dinners after services during midweek. Today on this Feast of Feasts, we celebrate that Jesus, God's only begotten Son, has conquered sin, death, and hell. He has conquered the grave itself by His glorious resurrection from the dead. Through all of that, He promises you the ultimate prize and an eternal inheritance in heaven. St. Peter calls it a new heaven and a new earth. In the early church, Easter Day was the first time that newly baptized or newly instructed Christians ate and drank the Lord's Supper. When the new Christians were formally welcomed into the church, they were congratulated. Congratulations for being set free from sin. Congratulations for being set free from slavery to the devil. Congratulations for being a free child of God. But right before their first communion, when they would receive the Lord's body and blood, they were first given a cup of water with a little bit of milk and honey mixed into it. This reminded them that whenever one partakes of the Lord's Supper, we also partake of an everlasting feast with those who have already crossed over to the promised land of heaven. So being in church on Easter morning is a pretty big deal. It's like a prodigal son returning to his waiting father, where there is a rich feast already prepared. When someone is welcomed into God's household of faith, it's a family reunion, and it is a time of feasting. Isaiah prophesied to the people of Israel of such feasting, of a family reunion. He wrote, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of rich food and well-aged wine. The banquet Isaiah describes, one, was their release from exile, but even beyond that, the feast of heaven, the feast in which all God's people will one day physically partake. The reason why you are invited to that feast and to this feast here today is because somebody invited you. And that somebody is Jesus. That he opened the door for you, your crucified and your risen Lord. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Jesus has once for all destroyed death forever by rising from the dead. Heaven still awaits you, but heaven is never so far away from you that you cannot taste it. When someone confesses that they believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have already crossed over from death to life, John 5. Further, you are never closer to your loved ones in heaven than when we gather here to have Christ's supper. You are never closer to your loved ones in heaven than when we gather here to have Christ's supper. Why is that? Because we have already crossed over from death to life. When the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they were set free from death and slavery in Egypt. And then when they crossed over the Jordan River, they entered the promised land of milk and honey. Whenever you cross the threshold of this sanctuary as God's baptized child, you step out of your own world and you enter God's world. Through faith in Jesus, you have crossed out of death into life because he conquered sin and death for you. We all share in death. We all experience pain. We all experience sin outside of these walls. We all have trials and anxieties, but soon all that will be no more. Heaven is your promised land. There it is peaceful. There it is perfect. And there the feast never ends. But until we enter those eternal walls, we must live with the frailties of age, and the frailties of illness, and even death. We live with broken and strained relationships. We live grieving a loved one who's not with us anymore. We live with job loss or a dissolved plan for education. Our days are marred with worry about family, worried about home and work. We long for rest, but it seems that much of this life remains out of our control. Out of our control. When God told Moses through the burning bush that he would lead God's people out of slavery and into the promised land of milk and honey, Israel couldn't wait to get there. They couldn't wait to enter it. But along the way, they quickly fell. They fell into sin and rebelliousness. Many didn't even enter the promised land when they blamed God and Moses for their troubles. They didn't like having to live in tents. They didn't like it when God said it's time to move and they had to get up and move. They were tired of the same old food. They wanted more variety. And they even complained about the water. They grumbled. They grumbled at Moses, saying, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die here in the desert, Moses?" They were so angry, they were ready to stone Moses to death and to tell God himself to take a long walk off a short pier. Have you ever heard that expression? They had the gall to say that life was better for them in Egypt. They demanded that God meet their expectations, and they thought that he should earn their respect. Sometimes life feels too long, doesn't it? And it's very easy for us to grow impatient. Where can I find rest from that problem? Where can I find the strength to move forward? It is at those times that we need to hear the sweet milk and honey of God's word, of his faithfulness, and of his mercy. These are the things of Easter. The cross, the tomb, are both empty. Your punishment for sin has been taken from you. That one bears repeating. Your punishment for sin has been taken from you, and death can no longer hold you. Life is often frustrating, making me think that I deserve more than what God has provided. But do I really want to sit in that rebellion? Only one thing is needed: the bread of life, Jesus the Christ. He can feed your hungry soul even as you travel this vast wilderness while you wait for the promised land of heaven. Just as God gave Israel manna daily to survive in the wilderness, he still gives you the bread of life, Jesus. At this altar, in a little bit, he provides a foretaste of heaven. Your journey in this world may at times seem long and difficult, but as you await the promised land of heaven, God promises to be with you. He promises to meet you where you are. And he longs to feed your soul here in this place through his word and his sacrament. Family reunions are great. Reconnecting, sharing stories, and the food. The food. My mom always prepared these feasts for Christmas and Thanksgiving. And feast somehow didn't quite fit. High feast was getting closer. Homemade candies, homemade pies, cakes, homemade pickles and preserves, homemade watermelon pickles. Yeah, I heard that. All these things were set out hours before the meal. They remained through the meal, and they were still set out after the meal. There was plenty to replenish as it was used up. And the meal itself was always fresh. She'd get up early in the morning and make sure everything was ready. And it would never all fit on one plate. And after the meal, there would be more pie and coffee and more candies, and on it would go. And there was always enough left over. And she'd always say, "Now, as you go, I've been saving butter dishes all year. You make sure you take some." It is said that nothing beats the feast that awaits us in the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And I believe that. And here's partially why I believe that. One, first and foremost, it is the Lord who provides. But secondly, just think of all the moms who are already there helping out and making sure that it is just right. Another thing about my family and our family reunion traditions is that eventually, and probably much like yours, eventually, one by one, families begin to say goodbye. And for our family, the goodbyes could take an hour, 2 hours. Nobody really wants to go home. And there's always more to say. There's always one more hug to be had. Family reunions are great, but they never seem to last. Life in this world seems to demand more than we have to give, pulling us away, forcing us to say goodbye. But it won't always be like that. God's kingdom is eternal. It has already begun, and it is yours now through faith in Jesus. The reunion, the communion of saints of which we confess, has already begun, and it is already yours, and it is ongoing. In that place, the great high feast, nobody ever has to say goodbye. Here today, you partake of the fruits of the promised land of milk and honey in God's word and in his sacrament, the very foretaste of heaven itself. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The graves of the saints have been sanctified. And by his bodily resurrection, Christ has brought life and immortality to light. This day, may you find joy in the everlasting communion with all who wait for him on earth and with all in heaven who are with him. For he is the resurrection and the life, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.